Okay, we are in Genesis chapter 5 today. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 5. And we saw last time, looking at the end of Genesis chapter 4, we saw that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord after he was punished and kind of exiled. And he went and built the city. And we saw that he started having children, and his children had children. And we saw that it was really like the first civilization, if you will. This is the first city that was built. Obviously, it's not around anymore because a while after this, a few chapters after this, there's going to be a flood that destroys everything on the earth. But he built a city, and his offspring are really focused on earthly life. They're going to create new industries. They're going to build up. They're going to make things better. They're going to really try and better the state of their civilization. Some of them are going to dwell in tents. They're going to have cattle. There's going to be musicians. You know, they're really focused on earthly life. But the problem is, in Genesis chapter 3, that serpent came along. And the thing about a serpent, you think about like a poisonous serpent. It bites you, and then maybe it goes away. Well, you still have the problem of the bite. Even though the serpent leaves, and you don't see him again, I was thinking about it this morning, you don't really read a lot about Satan in the Bible. It's mostly about God, and it's about man and the relationship between them. You don't see too much about Satan. But the damage is done. That serpent has already bitten man, and that poison, that sin, is working its way through mankind. And as man begins to grow and spread, the sin spreads, and with it, the wages of sin, which is death. And you can see as this civilization starts to grow, there's death. There's people dying. Now in Genesis 4, you see Cain murders his brother Abel. You see this other man named Lamech. And it seems that he also has killed someone. And as people are dying, then there's also a time when men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And they realized, hey, you know, humanity has this problem of death. We were created to be alive, but now we're dying off. Some people are killing each other. There's this violence. And we need God. God is what we need. God is the one that created life. He's where the life is. We need God. And in Genesis 4, we see that people are killing each other. But in Genesis 5, we're going to see something else. People are dying even when they're not actively being murdered. So let's get into Genesis 5. And we're actually going to read through the whole chapter to start, and then go through it. So Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. I know, it's a lot of death, right? Something to cry about for sure. Verse 12, and Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So, that is the book of the generations of Adam, as it says in verse 1. And you can see there is a pattern here. And he died, and he died, and he died. And we know that story because it's the same story of life today.
Right.
And he died, and he died, and he died. You look in the newspaper every week, and he died, and he died,
yes, sir.
And someone else died. Okay, so in verse 1, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. What does that mean? His generations are his children, his offspring. That's what it's talking about. This is kind of similar to something that it says in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1. So let's turn there. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay, so here's the difference. In Genesis 5, it says the book of the generations of Adam. It's talking about the generations that came out of Adam. Okay, you see it's a list of his child, then his child, then his child, and so on. In Matthew, it's the opposite. This is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. It's now looking at all the different births that led up to him. It's not talking about his children. Jesus doesn't have any children here. Okay? It's going in reverse. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brother. And the whole thing ends, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Okay, so it's just looking at it from a different angle. If you go over to Luke chapter 3, it's kind of similar. And it's actually in reverse order to what you see in Genesis 5. So if you look at the latter half of Luke chapter 3, you could see it it's again, it's this list of sons, which was a son of him, which was a son of him, which was a son of him. And you come down to like verse 36, which was the son of Cainan, which was the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Sem, that's Shem, which was the son of Noe, that's Noah, which was the son of Lamech, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which is the son of Malaleel. That's different. The son of Cainan, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Okay? So this is the whole thing that we're going through in Genesis 5 in reverse order, starting from Christ and going all the way back to Adam. So back in Genesis 5, going back to verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Again, you're going back to the day when man was created, and he was created in the likeness of God. And also it says in Genesis chapter 1 that God said, let us make man in our image. Okay, image, likeness. What does that mean? It means he created man to be like him in some way or in some ways. I think there are some ways in which man resembles God, like even in his outward appearance. He's got hands, so does God. He's got feet, so does God. He's got a head, so does God. He's got a face, so does God. He's got eyes to see, so does God. But also, God made man to be like him. God is holy. He's just. He's righteous. He's true. He's pure. He's gracious. He's merciful. And God intended man to be like that.
Man.
Okay? It hasn't worked out so well up until this point. But that's the way that God made him. Verse 2, it says, male and female created he them. God made man, both male and female. I had this ridiculous argument with someone like earlier this year who insisted that a woman is not a female man. A woman is a female man. God made man, and he made them both male and female. Okay? Well, what about all the other different genders? God didn't create them. God didn't create them. Well, where did they come from? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In verse 29, it says, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. God created man upright. He created man without sin. He created man without perversion. He created man upright the way that man was supposed to be. Part of that is that he made them male and female. Everything else is the invention of man who doesn't like the way that God did things, who doesn't accept the way God made man, male and female. But back in Genesis 5, God made them male and female, and he blessed them, and he called their name Adam in the day when they were created. I thought Adam was the guy's name. Well, it says that God called their name Adam. It's almost like they were made one flesh. Yes, that's what happened. They were made one flesh. The woman was joined to the man. The man's name was Adam, but then he calls both of them by the man's name. Interesting. Okay, verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. So we see here, what does it mean to become a father and to have a child? Well, it means you beget a son in your own image, in your own likeness. We all know what that means. Thad has kids that look like him. Dan has kids that look like him. And the same thing with his wife, you know, her kids look like her too, right? Okay. We see that in the natural world, and it helps us to understand what it meant for God to create man in his own image.
Right.
Again, it was God's intention for man to be his children. But in order for that to happen, they were going to have to be like him. They were going to have to be in his likeness. Okay. So Adam lived 130 years, begat a son in his own likeness after his image, called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay. Obviously, the Bible is a book of fairy tales. I mean, Adam is living to over 900 years old. That's just crazy. Wait a minute. Okay. Is it really that crazy? Well, let's think about this for a minute. So, who wrote the book of Genesis? It was Moses. Okay. Now, let's turn to Psalm 90. And let's talk about Moses for a second. Psalm 90, which was also written by Moses. Okay. So, in Psalm 90, look what it says in verse 10. Okay. It says, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. What is he saying? Well, a score is 20 years. A score is 20. Okay? Abraham Lincoln famously said, 4 score and 7 years ago. Thank you. He's saying 87 years ago. Okay? That's what a score is. It's 20. Moses is saying the days of our years are 70 years and 10. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Moses is saying the lifespan of a man is basically 70 to 80 years. So the people, when Moses writes this book called Genesis, the people that he's writing to, the people in his society, are living 70 to 80 years, right?
Right.
That's what he's saying. They would know. Like, if you write a book, if I write a book today, and it talks about people 900 years old, you'd all look at me and laugh. Like, what are you talking about, 900 years old? People only live to be 70 or 80. So the fact that Moses is writing this book about people that are 900 years old and expecting it to be believed by other people, either Moses is completely off his rocker, or he's writing it because it's true, even though it's unlikely to be believed by people in his own society. You see what I'm saying? You read through Genesis, this is not reading like a fairy tale. You're not reading like, oh, there was some guy that appeared on the back of a flying turtle, you know, and he did it. It's not like Chinese mythology or Greek mythology. It's not all this harebrained weird stuff. He's giving you, hey, this is the lifespan. It's this many years. Then he had his first son. And then this many years happened after that. And then he died. And then this happened. And this happened. He's writing history.
Right.
This is factual stuff. He's not writing this like a fairy tale. He's writing factual stuff. So the fact that he's willing to put in here, hey, Adam was 930 years old that he died. Why, like, if I'm trying to write a book to be believed by people, I'd probably say something like, hey, Adam was 70 or 80 years old. But he says, no, Adam was 930 years old. Why? Because that was the truth. That's why Moses wrote it. Why did man live to be that long, though? Why is it so much shorter today? Well, that's a good question. There's different explanations. One could be that there were changes in the earth throughout this time period that started to cause man's lifespan to be shorter. You see, now people are living to be 900, 800 years old. Lamech is 777. But you see, throughout the book of Genesis, the lifespan gradually becomes shorter and shorter and shorter. So there might be changes in just the earth's atmosphere or the way things are set up. Or maybe it's a result of the curse that God put on the ground that, hey, you know, you eat stuff that comes out of the ground and maybe it's gonna start getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Maybe that's part of it. But I think there's kind of another clue as to what part of the thing was. There's actually a guy in here that doesn't live to be 900 years old. He's actually a lot older than that now. He never died. Okay? What does it say about him? He walked with God. Okay? Moses, in Psalm 90, says, hey, the lifespan of man is 70 to 80 years. You know how long Moses lived? Moses lived to be 120. Even though he said, the lifespan of man is 70 to 80 years. As a matter of fact, if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, to the end of Deuteronomy, where it says that Moses died, this is Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7. And it says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Moses died at 120, and he wasn't even ready to die yet. His body was not expired yet. What was the difference? Moses spent time with God. And when he left the presence of God, his face was shining so much that he looked like a light bulb.
Right.
He was charged up with life from being in the presence of God. And if he had stayed there, he could have just kept on living forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
Because God is life. He is the length of thy days. Why did Moses die then? Well, he transgressed. He did something and God punished him and said, you know what? You're not making it into the promised land. You're going to die before they go in. Now's the time to die, Moses. Your body isn't ready to expire, but you're going to die right now. And then he died. So why did people live to be this long? I think part of it is that God was still in a lot closer fellowship with the earth and with the people of the earth than he is today. I think his presence was actually closer to the earth, and because of that, people lived longer. And I think after this time, he began to withdraw himself, and the lifespan began to get shorter and shorter and shorter. Okay, that's just some of my thoughts. Okay, verse 4 still, it ends that verse, he begat sons and daughters. So think about how old Adam was when he died. His third son there, was born when he was 130, but then after that, he lived for 800 more years. Over that span, he's having lots of children. So again, this answers the question of where did Cain's wife come from, we talked about last week. He's living for 900 years. After 130 years, he has a kid who lives for 900 some years. There's children popping out all over the place. That's how Cain, who's only the second man that we read about in the Bible, he's able to go out and build a city all by himself. How'd that happen? He's popping out kids, and right away his kids are popping out kids, and they got kids popping out all over the place. I know, it's kind of a funny way to put it. Just thought about the word population. They're popping out. I don't know. Yeah, okay, let's continue on here. Okay, so I'm really not going to say too much about the middle of this chapter other than you can see, even though people aren't killing each other, I mean, they are, don't get me wrong. Violence is continuing to spread throughout humanity, and we're going to see that it really comes to a head in the next chapter. So people are killing each other, but also people are just dying of what they say natural causes. They're getting old, and eventually their time just runs out and they're dying. And that just goes on and on and on. Okay, let's could go through some of these names. Because most of this chapter is a list of names and who was born and so forth. So let me just go through some of these names. Again, we talked about Seth, that his name means appointed. And then he had a son named Enos. So this realization is starting to hit them that, hey, man is mortal. He's frail. He's in need of God. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord for help. But he names his son Enos, which means mortal. Cainan, you can see it's very similar to the name Cain, and it actually means the same thing. It means like acquired or gotten. Mahalalel, his name means praise of God or the blessed God. Jared means descent or shall come down. Enoch, again, means dedicated. We saw that there was an Enoch in the previous chapter, and Cain dedicated his city after his son, named it after his son. But we see here that there was a man named Enoch who was dedicated to God and walked with God. Methuselah is an interesting one. So his name can mean a couple of things. Can mean man of the dart, or it can mean his death shall bring, okay? And a lot of people have interpreted his name prophetically because, and I haven't done the math on this. Maybe I'll do it for next week. But apparently Methuselah died. At the time Methuselah died is when the flood happened. And his name, it means his death shall bring. It's like there was an expectation. When this man dies, something significant is going to happen. And I believe that was the flood. Lamech, I'm not sure about. When I looked it up, it said the meaning was uncertain, but possibly meaning despairing or to bring down. I understand that these names in sequence, they kind of present a picture or a story. I didn't get a chance to research that, but maybe I will do that for next week. You get down to verse 29. And there was this man named Lamech, and he had a son named Noah. And it says, he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. So again, this curse on the earth, on the ground, was still present. And he mentions the work and toil of our hands, and it's something that we still do today. We still work and toil with our hands, and it's, you know, hard work is, it can be rewarding, there, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of unpleasant. You have to work, you have to toil to get things done and just to survive. And it's interesting, he calls his son's name Noah and says, "The same shall comfort us." So even though this life can have its, you know, disappointments, it can have its hard times, sometimes it's difficult, this man takes joy in his son. He takes comfort in his son. And children definitely add a lot of that into our lives. It's always uplifting to me. I don't see a lot of children over the course of my week, but when I come here on Sundays, I get to be surrounded by all these children. They come up to me and make funny faces and climb all over me, and it's just great. It's just great. So I can appreciate that. So before we wrap this up, let's talk a little bit more about Enoch. So going back to verse 19. It says, "And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." Now, as you look at the different ages of these men throughout this chapter, and at what point they had their son, the son that's mentioned here, it seems like Enoch had a son pretty young. He was only 65 when he's already having his son. But it says Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. It's almost like, it kind of seems to me like the walking with God started after he had the son. And it just makes me wonder about that. Like, you know, the birth of a child is a pretty life-changing experience. And I just wonder if it just got Enoch thinking about things, you know, thinking about life. Yeah. Maybe it was revealed, you know, to Enoch that there was something... that there was something special about Methuselah and his life and what was going to happen at the end of his life. And I don't know. I don't know really what contributed to this. But it says, Enoch walked with God. And it makes me think of back in Genesis chapter 3. It says that God, Adam heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
Right.
God was walking in the garden, and he was calling out to Adam, "Adam, where art thou?" But God is walking alone,
yeah.
And he's calling out to Adam, and he's trying to get him to come to him.
Yeah,
"Adam, where are you? Come here, come here." And God has to walk alone because Adam is hiding his transgression,
right.
And he's hiding himself. And he was afraid and he hid himself and he didn't want to go into the presence of the Lord. But this man, Enoch, it says he walked with God. I don't know, that might actually be literal. He might be literally walking with God. Like, literally walking around with God. Could be. But I'll tell you what, this walk with God is something that pleased God greatly. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. There's really not a lot said about Enoch there in Genesis 5, other than he walked with God and God took him. But Hebrews 11 gives a little bit more information. Hebrews 11 verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How? By faith. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So there you go. You know, Enoch must have had faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what we know about Enoch. That he had faith, that he pleased God. And it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. It's kind of a weird thing that it says about Enoch. Like, Enoch walked with God and was not. Was not what? It's kind of kind of irregular grammar there. He was not. But another place where it says this is when Joseph's brethren are talking about him. They don't know what happened to him. They think he's probably dead, or, you know, just kind of disappeared. And they said, yeah, we had 12, there's 12 brothers, and one is not. He's not what? Well, he's just not around anymore. Enoch, he was walking with God, and one day he just was not. He wasn't there anymore. And it says here, was not found, because God had translated him that he should not see death. Apparently, God was so pleased with Enoch, so pleased with his company, he's like, you know what? I'm taking you, Enoch. I want you to be here with me. Interesting. You know, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. And Enoch definitely believed on Jesus Christ. He believed in the Lord. You say, well, he didn't know the name Jesus. He didn't know that Jesus was going to come and die for the sins of the world. He didn't know that. Hey, I'm not going to say what Enoch knew and didn't know. I don't know how much he knew. He lived for 365 years and he walked with God for a long time. He knew some things. But it says in the book of Jude, there's only one chapter, but it's kind of interesting the things that this chapter talks about. Starting at verse 11, it says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And Enoch isn't too far removed from Cain. And I think Enoch looks around and sees a lot of people going in the way of Cain. He looks over there and sees that city in the land of Nod. Ironically, the city actually has his name on it. but he sees a lot of people going in the way of Cain. And in verse 14, it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's Enoch.
Yeah.
That's Enoch preaching way back in Genesis 5. I don't know how much Enoch knew about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he certainly knew about the second coming.
Man.
And he knew, hey, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints, and he's going to judge the ungodly. So Enoch was a prophet. He was a preacher of righteousness. And it just some of the fruit that came out of his life because he had faith in God and walked with God. I think it's interesting in Romans 4, it talks about us following in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham.
Yeah.
Guess whose steps Abraham was following in? Enoch's. Enoch walked with God. Abraham walked with God. We also can walk with God. Amen. And then the last thing I just want to mention here is just kind of... So this chapter ends with a man named Noah. And, you know, a lot of us know the story about Noah and what happens. We're going to read about it in the next few chapters. But it ends this chapter... It doesn't say Noah was 500 years old and he died. It just says Noah was 500 years old and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Noah was 500 years old, and then what? Well, it's saying Noah's 500 years old when the events of the next few chapters start to happen. Okay? So we'll get into that next time, but that is it for today. Genesis chapter 5, the book of the generations of Adam. And he died, and he died, and he died. And that is the sad story of humanity.